You know, we're just basically embellishing gastronomical culture and awareness. And that's really what I would say is pretty heavy on Corey's mind. Mm-hmm. You know, it's okay.
Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, available anywhere, anytime on the internet at WFPR.FM in your browser and in the local Franklin Mass FM radio dial on 102.9. Yeah, the dial with the knobs or the push button is preset to 102.9 and you've got the number in there. We are here in the Poor Richard's Wine and Provision Store, their new location. Talking with George Schwartz. George, how are you doing today?
I'm well, Steve. Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Yes, it's good to be here. This is a place that's been certainly evolving, and I know you've been with Poor Richard's, obviously under a prior owner for a couple of years, and then now here with Corey. So for the listeners, if they haven't been here to know George, give them a little bit of your short story, if you will.
Sure. Well, I came to the previous owner vis-a-vis or après COVID or during COVID and worked in a period when the assistant manager would not come back to the store based on the COVID situation.
Sure.
And I took over the Sunday-Monday shtick, as you might say, and worked that a couple years and eventually went on and took another job that gave me more hours, etc. But I knew the previous owner very, very well. We both worked for the same importer, so we had some good background stories. And the amount of war stories you have in this business so after 4 decades for both of us tend to be pretty juicy, you could say. And we had a good time. I was under recommendation, actually, from the previous owner to the new owner, Corey, who I knew also. He was kind of an acolyte of mine in the business when he worked as bartender at Copa, and it was kind of an inevitability or just a manifest destiny, as I'm lucky to call
aligning of the stars.
Yeah, it was a good alignment, and I came here from Eataly in Boston for a couple years working there, and kicked off the activities here, which have been pretty profound. A lot of people come in and just notice the color of the walls and then can't say much about anything else because they can't quite absorb the rest. But in general, it's been a, like I said, profound dynamic and very, very exciting dynamic. And now there are just tons of great activities, tons of great opportunities, tons of not just wine and beer, but just tons of fresh foods and oils and pastas and salts and curiosity spices and the finest corn chips and bizarre potato chips, etc. So
it's a specialty place.
It's a very specialty,
kind of a smaller Eataly to that extent.
Yeah, it's like a micro emporium of Eataly. Eataly certainly is 80,000 square feet.
Right, that's a different size for sure.
You know, 2,000 square feet here, but it is a blast because we do things that are not really seen, I don't think, in any local community. There's maybe in New England a few other people, or maybe more than a few, doing some of the specialty items. But because Corey has such a affinity for this, he's really leading the pack in terms of things that he adores. You know, I might adore Grissini and Robaiola and certain olive oil from Sicily, but he goes on the other side and curates some amazing jams and amazing pepper spices, etc. You have to come and see this. You have to get part of the experience. But that's just the nature of the store. I think the reason that I'm here with Steve and with Corey in the background is to talk about our activities currently, which I think are the most extraordinary for what we do and who we are, and really exemplify a golden opportunity to learn about wine, taste wine, and buy wine. We've really brought this to a new zenith, to a new point. It's a really quite a good adventure. So I'm just going to generalize and say what we've done in the strongest condition has been to do these walk around tastings every 6 to 8 weeks, sometimes 10 weeks, depending on the period. Right now we're doing two a month, more or less, for the holidays. If you haven't done a walk around tasting, they are an absolute blast, particularly if you like to smell wine, taste wine, and
right.
if you want to gab about wine with said distributor reps and importers, you can have a gay old time, only within a 5-hour framework, because we
So you have to limit the conversation, but the conversation all of a sudden can get really deep or rather broad, depending upon who's at the table and tasting this wine versus
yeah,
that wine.
It goes from erudite to like the Tower of Babel in like an hour. It can really deteriorate fast. But if you're into it and focused and want to get something out of it, not just learning, but also, you know, again, buying and tasting and taking these wines home and experiencing them, then it is a tremendous experience.
Right.
They go from 1 to 4. There's a couple more before the end of the year. You can see them on our website or through social media. And they don't cost you a dime. I do recommend getting here early if it's close to 1. It's
right.
better than coming at 4.
Sure.
We have to wear elbow pads and push your way in.
But the setup effectively is, so you walk in and there's what, usually 4, sometimes 5 stations, if you
yeah,
will,
there's
with some number of bottles to,
exactly.
to taste.
So the way we've designed it is there's 6 wines per table. So typically we have 6 to 8 tables, and there's usually 2 whites and 4 reds, and the wines on average go from 20 to let's say 40 a bottle, depending on the time of year, which is earlier in the year they'll be more economical, summertime more economical for volume drinking. This time of year we try to get people into the more exclusive wines, whether it's Burgundy or Bordeaux or Great Barbaresco or Nero d'Avola from Sicily. We try to show a little higher pedigree, higher provenance wine, etc. So these are happening. We've interspersed into this or woven into this another concept that happens once a month. And this requires a reservation, but so far we haven't had standing room only, so we've been able to take people by the seating. We are conducting seminars, 2-hour seminars with either importers or producers or myself or Corey, depending on the particular expertise. Mine is Italian. Corey works in the, he actually works in the volcanic wine business off the West Coast, so very specialized. And we have these people present 10 wines, you taste 10 wines, and there's also a audio-visual presentation, which is a nice augment to the tasting formula. People, you know, can see something without actually going there. You know,
right.
going there is always the absolute best. But I will tell you this, as a matter of fact, by doing this for the last 40 years, particularly the last 20 years, people are going there. I have stimulated so much interest in Italy that I do people's routing and trips and winery visits and restaurant tastings, and they end up doing trips.
Yeah.
Which I should get paid a lot more for
well,
this. But,
yeah, but hopefully they'll at least come back and thereby help the store, which ultimately keeps you going too as well. So that's all a win-win.
It's totally win-win. They do come back and they say, hey, I was in Chianti and you made a point about tasting, you know, not just Chianti Classico, but to taste Brunello or to taste Maremma wines, etc. So this type of thing is very healthy for everybody, like Steve is mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the, I would say that's the main framework of
right.
what the store is doing. Now, in addition to that, there have emerged a whole bunch of ancillary fun events. We've been doing yoga classes with wine tasting and wine purchasing, which might seem like an oxymoron.
An odd combination, but, you know,
yeah.
after a little yoga stretching,
no,
have a little
look,
wine.
You have to have
why
a reward,
not?
Little reward system for your workout. We've been very successful with this floral design class. So people make either wreaths or make floral
arrangements
mm-hmm. or sometimes modular pieces for different events, different seasons, and then taste wine through that process,
sure.
which has been great. we have done a couple of pop-up events, what we call pop-up events, where we introduce things like tinned fish with certain wines. So this is a very Portuguese-Spanish kind of activity, yeah. But one that is... this stuff is hot. I mean, people just don't know. You open up a tin fish, you can make pasta with it. You can put it on salad.
Right.
You can have it as a snick snack program with yep. your great albarino.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're just basically embellishing gastronomical culture and awareness. And that's really what I would say is pretty heavy on Corey's mind. Mm-hmm. You know, it's okay. This is a wine business. This is a business. Times are tough. We got to get the job done. But to make fun out of it and to increase the quality of lifestyle, I think, is a formidable mm-hmm. racket.
You get a chance to try something, especially with the tastings. So rather than spending $40 on a bottle and just walking out the store and realizing, oh, I don't like it, you can taste it before you do.
Right.
By the
bottle. If you've been eating tuna fish from a can for 60, 70 years, you can now realize that clams, sardines, octopus, it's a whole other world. You can really have a blast.
Mm-hmm.
Corey came up with the notion of doing a book club and having vis-a-vis Zoom the author online, you know,
facilitate
with the video,
facilitate the club,
yeah.
lead the conversation. Yeah. So you're enabling the technology to have truly an event where you can't necessarily get an author all the time, especially in person, but in person via the technology.
Yeah,
and now in your space, you can deliver the wine and the snacks and whatever. What's wrong with that?
No, I think it's brilliant. I haven't been here. Those happen a lot on Sundays. I mean, so a lot of events of this nature happen on Sundays. We have a gentleman from Franklin. His name escapes me, but he does extraordinary cutting boards and other woodwork items. Do you know him?
Not offhand, but I know there's a couple of people who are on my list to contact. He may very well be one of them.
Yeah, he could be one of them. He's really extraordinary. We have a gentleman, again, I don't know names, who's a pottery thrower.
Okay.
And he's going to come with his kiln and do some work. Obviously, cheeses, charcuterie. Probably before the end of the year, we'll do building a charcuterie board, which is also another, I think, fascinating subject because people don't basically know how to do that.
And it seems, you know, overwhelming on one hand, and yet by going through the class, you find out, oh, this is relatively easy. You need to consider whether it's, you know, the types and whatever your tastes are.
Exactly.
Softs and hards.
Yeah, if you combine
salty
the right
and
elements, you know, we're now putting pickles on tops of chips. We're putting, like, little slices of cheese. I would never have thought of this, like, even 10 years ago. It's not my lifestyle, but... You know, this kind of approach, this understanding, is Corey's way of bringing, you know, European philosophy mm-hmm. in gastronomy and just in presentation. And let's face it, if you're hip at doing something in front of your peers, you really garner, you know, status. You really look.
Yeah.
They either think you're kooky, and that's okay. My book, that's okay.
Charcuterie what?
right. You put what on top of the cheese? So. We just got a bevy, I would say, of cookbooks, so I'm sure there's going to be some maybe, you know, we're not prepared yet, license-wise, to do cooking here.
True.
But that will probably happen where we can. But there'll probably be perhaps like the normal book reading, doing some cookbook analysis with some wine. Talk about, you know, why does Arnaise go well with this particular dish?
Yeah.
And what is your range? Can you use red wine with this
pairing
particular seafood?
With the book as opposed to pairing with the actual recipe that you've made. But at some point, maybe that could be done too.
I think eventually this is all within his wheelhouse, all mm-hmm. within the range. And you know, I have to say, I think people are perhaps a little bit shy about doing this stuff. Maybe, I don't want to be sexist, but women might have been more gifted with this stuff originally, but now men are moving in this direction to try to understand how to please women more, to please the whole dinner circle.
Sure.
They're taking more, I consider it more of a responsibility
that
perhaps didn't exist before. So again, pardon my sexist study, but I think it's a reality. We'll probably do, before the end of the year, and keep an eye on this, a caviar champagne thing. I have to say, this is my own gut feeling living here in Franklin after living in the city, there's just not enough champagne appreciation that we see, and thus we don't see enough sales. But again, if we approach it from an educational position and then superimpose seafoods, particularly caviar, can just show, again, a lifestyle embellishment, just as I was saying before. I think it's all this kind of comes around to the same spot, is that these things, which maybe exist as commodities to many degrees across the globe, can actually be fine art forms that need to be appreciated and can be appreciated. And you don't have to spend the mortgage money either on this.
Right.
You know,
right.
Good wine can be bought here at under $20 all day long.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to take it up a notch, we're ready to go.
We're ready to help. Right. So. And I think the other piece that for me, and I've been to at least some of the tastings, so I can speak to that piece as well, it gives you the capability of tasting things that you wouldn't necessarily have had a chance to do otherwise, and especially with the combination. So with this cheese or with that piece of hors d'oeuvre or whatever it is. And then the benefit is you now have tasted, call it, up to 36 if it's six times the six.
Yeah.
Right? And now you know something about, I want this one or I don't want that one. And then you pick the one that you do want, and you walk out the door at least feeling, I've got something I know I'm going to want, as opposed to, well, do I want it or not? Right?
No, that's what I love. At the end of the tasting, when somebody buys a Zweigelt Syrah combination from Austria, I'm like, my day is done. I've done a good job. Because this type of turn on for taste and this study of taste is just fantastic. And to be honest with you, our clientele qualifications and just generally quality continues to go up. The bar continues to go up. So people that are here can lend some good reciprocity to people just by sharing.
Sure.
You know,
I've had this before. Have you tried that? Or have you tried that with this?
Yeah.
Right?
And or like Lagrein. We just tasted Lagrein. You had it. Now you might possibly think about it. At least you know the word Lagrein.
The awareness has increased, which is one. The educational aspects are there. So the fear and uncertainty and doubt of what am I going to do with this? Can I do that? Well, it's easy enough. And because, especially on a tasting, well, you're not getting a full glass. You're getting a taste.
Yeah.
And you then get the routine. And if you don't like it, you dump it
immediately. You don't drink it. You shouldn't drink it.
No, because then, that can run into other complications.
And the practice, you know, for me, I'm a proboscis olfactory guy. So for me, smell, you got to do the
smell thing.
You got to focus on the smell because that's a prelude to the taste. Actually, smell is five times greater than taste. So if you don't smell, you miss a certain level.
There are some scientific aspects of that.
Yeah, sure. You can play that line, which is important. But if you do that, it just, again, strengthens your desires and your appreciation so that you can say when you have something, oh, that's cool, I like it, or that's dreck, I could have dumped it. It just gives you the working criteria to be more effective. And honestly, it's not just a luxury. It's a lifestyle. If you believe in this lifestyle, then you should be coming to Poor Richard's frequently. And you should be talking to us and enjoying the ride. I feel bad when people get stuck along a certain line and never break that line. But we are creatures
of habit.
Of this particular habit. I mean, if you drink Pinot Grigio your whole life, that's fine. You don't need Sancerre. You don't need Chablis. You don't need other wines. But I think in terms of today's lifestyle, it's exciting to taste new paradigms, to taste new genres in grapes, and The greatest thing about the wine business is that kind of the biggest static is change. Always changing. Mindset, mm-hmm. grapes, you know, conditions of global warming, how to deal with that.
Well, and from one year to the next, the environment for that, even though it's the same vines, the same arena, the weather has been different. Something's doing going right. on with the soil. So the wine, even year to year, is going to be somewhat the same, but somewhat different.
There's
because
enough,
they're...
Yeah.
There's enough.
With all the amount of hail and rain and ice and all the mm-hmm. gifts of the gods right now, it's really changing the way things come out. But a corollary here, which for me is kind of dear and a little bit important if you have this lifestyle, is that people are still developing the collectability factor of wine and still understanding when those wines evolve and mature. Mm-hmm. And how to appreciate that.
Right.
I mean, that was my life 30 years ago. It's not right. my life so much now.
Right.
I buy a bottle off the rack, I drink it.
Yep.
Done. Game
yep.
done. Go to bed, reset, et cetera. But I have customers that are looking for that promulgation, you might say, for that work with their seller. And that's fantastic. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Sure.
When you can buy something and learn and try to figure out when the tannins will drop and when there'll be something even greater than what you tasted mm-hmm. here today.
Right.
That's another level. That's another zen of
yes.
this business.
Well, so. It's also a form of, and investing, I think, is an appropriate word, investing in yourself and your experience, but clearly investing in the wine, but knowing how you're investing and why you're investing.
Yeah.
And then you get to enjoy it at some point in time.
Yeah, that's a different avenue. If you come here, you can see I have a third of my library of books that can help you if you want to sit down and drink a glass of wine. I actually meet people on Friday afternoons where I buy a bottle, they buy a bottle, and we just go through the whole diagnostic as we're talking now, and it's a great, you know, it's a great thing. It's a great aspect of life. It's you know, it's a good time. Despite tariffs, there's still plenty of wine from plenty of corners. There's still plenty bargain-centric
right.
wine. So
right.
There's more than enough juice
right.
to cover anybody that's out there on this airspace.
Sure, and that gives us an opportunity. Clearly, there's enough domestic opportunities, never mind just international, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the domestic, from what I've been hearing, domestic in certain areas is certainly very comparable than...
There's some amazing things. Again, come in and talk to Corey about that more than me. But, you know, Columbia Valley in Washington State is incredible. The Paso Robles area in California is incredible. Resurgence of Santa Barbara in the south of California is great. The whole Oregon wine thing is pretty amazing. Pinot Noir-wise is fascinating. So... A lot of homework you're behind here.
I'm behind, so I have to drink up and get
yeah,
and catch up.
Get on the bandwagon here. Start checking our social media a lot. So activities will be posted. Some of them will be maybe spontaneous or serendipitous, based on, you know, if we talk to a winemaker, we know they're going to be here in a couple of weeks. We post something.
You schedule something.
Yeah, we try to grab when we see right. something really good. We just did an Alsatian tasting with a producer, eighth generation. The guy spent more time talking about the war than he did about the wines. But the wines were unknown, and they were incredible values from Alsace,
sure.
which
yeah.
can be not snobby, but
right.
can be noble like Bordeaux
right.
prices.
Yeah, and then
some
of the events you've mentioned already are kind of recurring. So if not once a month, once
yeah,
every
well,
other month, they're recurring.
We'll always do the walk-around tasting. That's a mandatory part of the business, and that's an important part of our business for business.
Sure, right. To build line. The business, because
yeah.
you want to expand
yeah.
and expose people
yeah,
to
show them.
Try
yeah.
these different tastes, different
yeah.
tastes.
And so that'll happen, and... Guaranteed, the monthly tastings, what we call wit and wisdom tastings, those will continue on a monthly basis. Those
mm-hmm.
will happen, and those have been great for us because half the time it's either an owner, winemaker, or maybe some special rep who's got great history, or right. I do the Italian ones and mm-hmm. Corey does the California ones. So. Right.
And that one, I think, specifically is a registration required?
Yeah, we...
Pre-registration
We ask required. People to do that, but in all sincerity, nothing has affected... You know, we can sit up to 30 people.
Right.
So we usually set it up, and we haven't gone beyond so far. Mm-hmm. So...
Yeah, well, that'll be a happy problem when you get to it.
Yeah, we'll address that. We'll address that eventually. Right. So,
but the six table wine tasting, other than recommendation to come early so you don't have to bump elbows all along the
way. I also like to meet people when they arrive and kind of assess what they want to taste that day. I mean, a lot of people just come in and bang through the whole thing. That's fine. Right. But some people come in with a particular mindset of what they want to do, and I'll mark their tasting mm-hmm. block, and that's pretty
guide them along.
Pretty cool, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's fun.
Sure.
So, and we have all the wines obviously to buy that day, and that's part of it. But we don't buy heavily. I'll speak for mm-hmm. the organization because we can't buy heavily for that many wines.
Sure.
But we back it up and bring the wines in the following week if there's something. We've had a few people. This was more in the summer, buy cases of things that they wanted
sure.
for their summer house or for events. Or
right.
People buy, like right now, people are buying from our events for Christmas gifts.
Okay.
And they want something different. They bought Cremant d'Alsace.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, nobody really goes around shopping for Cremant d'Alsace. That kind of bubbles, but it's a beautiful, independent, individual gift. So,
yeah. You want that unique and distinct gift that's also good, and yeah. now you've had a chance to taste it, so you know, and thereby, why not?
Yeah, this woman is the CEO, so she curated it. Can't be better than that.
Right.
She didn't just come and ask, you know,
yep.
I want some groovy Prosecco mm-hmm. that's different. She tasted it, and that was pretty great.
Yeah, so. Definitely. Well, I'm sure if we brought a bottle out, we could spend another hour or so talking, but...
Yeah,
aside from that, I think we've covered kind of the key events.
Yeah, this is the base, and this is the Gestalt. That's a word I like to use these days. This is the Poor Richard thing. And you have Corey, myself, sometimes Corey's wife is here. We also have Nick working here, who's like a quiet superstar.
Right.
He's a beer expert, equal yes. to Corey and I on wine. Equal, yep. if not more so.
Right.
So if you want to get insight on beer. Oh, and here's something I didn't even mention, but we should mention that we have been doing. We've been using the classroom space for private events, meaning if you have a birthday party or if you have a special anniversary, mostly birthday parties.
Mm-hmm.
We've been sitting 8 people. We basically design the event, or people design it based on their budget.
Right.
They can bring in catered foods. If they want to go beyond, we had 40 people, so that would have meant, you know, a mountain charcuterie, which she didn't want to do the birthday gal.
Sure, yeah.
So that's another...
opportunity.
Yeah, another easy winning opportunity. We have done a couple with Nick for beer, which have been just mind-blowing, I'm going to mm-hmm. say.
Yep.
And... we also only play vinyl, so if you have a favorite jazz, opera, rock and roll, we can cover that too. And
yes.
We can rock the house down.
And, definitely.
Well, come and visit us.
Come and visit. And yeah, you may notice the wall color has changed if you had already been here before. But if you haven't, then you would notice that the colors are here. And you've got the walls effectively layered
yeah.
with the wine bottles and a little description still. And...
Yeah, we have it's a pretty cool, I have to say, this was a cool design of Corey and myself. We have the shelf talker that has a 3-word descriptor. So if you're just looking for immediate bang without
reading,
because a lot of people don't want to read, they're not coming to the wine shop to read. But then if they want to go beyond it, there is a 2-liner about complimentary foods and things. But
yep.
they're fun. I mean, make shopping a little fun if we're not here to wrap or wax
right,
about the
right.
ones.
Or expand
yeah,
on the 3 own, words or the 2 lines and say what's really going on, etc.
Yeah.
Yes. Cool. Well, thanks for spending some time. I hope the listeners will appreciate that and drop in at some point because, yeah, I've been here a few times and Port Richards is a fun place to visit.
Indeed. Absolutely.
Well, thank you again for doing this, and thank you, listeners, for listening. Stop by Port Richards. It's easy enough to find. You can always Google map it, but if you're familiar with the BJ's area, Port Richards is just before BJ's, and it's easy enough to get to.
Right next to Ichigo.
Ichigo Ichi's, yeah. And what is it, the 99 restaurants out front.
That, yeah.
Right.
So, and the Fred Astaire Dance Studio.
The Fred Astaire Dance Studio. So if you want to do a dancing lesson, yeah, then come to a tasting.
Come here and have sushi after.
Definitely. There's opportunities.
Well, thank you, Steve. It was good.
Good. Thank you again. And quick reminder, we do this because Franklin matters. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.